Welcome to Sister Act. This is a podcast where two sisters talk about movie musicals. I am one of those sisters. My name is Jackie.
I am the other one. My name is Nicola.
And today we are talking about a film that was very important to me in my childhood, and I learned on Letterboxd, not as important to Nick.
No.
We're talking about the 1992 movie version of Newsies.
Yeah, Newsies is very important to my childhood, but you know, I was like 8 when we saw it at Paper Mill, 8 or 9. I guess 9, yeah. And then after that, then it went to Broadway, got a cast recording. That was my Newsies.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah.
Whereas I had a childhood full of sleepovers where we would watch Newsies and all of the bonus features on the DVD, the talkin' Newsies special where you would learn the lingo of Newsies. Like, it was already very important to me.
Yeah. And I knew it was important.
In your Letterboxd review.
I knew it wasn't.
That you said... It was just funny to me to see in your Letterboxd review that you said, like, I didn't realize all the lyrics were changed. And I was like, oh, that was, like, my experience of seeing the stage show was, like, oh, these lyrics are all weird. Like, I know all the words and they're slightly different now, so I don't actually know all the words. So I have two sets of Newsies lyrics in my head. Yeah. And I would be, like, it's complicated to watch now because I instinctively know both versions, but, like... You know, my brain isn't as good at being like, this is the version you're watching, so I will sing some wrong words.
Yeah. I mean, I knew it was important to you, and it was important to me when I was 5 to 8. But then I just, that was too young to be like, this is it for me. And there's also no, like, once I could listen to Newsies over and over again, that's when I learned all the words. Although I
do
knew
have the
words.
Stage show lyrics more in my
especially
brain.
Especially because we sang them in musical theater. Neighbor to neighbor, father to son. I was like thinking about like holding the hands with the people next to me. Like we had some seated choreography in musical theater. And then the thing of Trenton, our man Denton. But a lot of the, like, it's just so many lyrics are changed that I just didn't remember.
Yeah. I do know, like, my listening to Newsies arc is that I listened to, like, I burned the CD of the Newsies cast recording of the movie soundtrack that Stephanie Wu lent me onto my iPod Nano, and I listened to that obsessively, and I did really know all those words, like, deeply. But then when the Broadway cast recording came out, I never went back. Like, I don't think any of the performances vocally are bad in this movie,
but they're not as,
like,
good.
There's no touching that Broadway. Yeah, right. Like, I don't listen to those movie recordings anymore. So I have the stage show lyrics more firmly in my brain now. But I do remember, like, navigating that transition of, like, going from knowing all of the movie lyrics to becoming someone whose instinct is to sing the stage show lyrics.
Yeah, I guess I probably went through that a bit because we did sing a lot of the songs in musical theater when I was 8 or whatever, but I don't remember having to change that in my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah. So he says, hey, that's my cigar. But then he doesn't say you'll steal another. He says something else. And I was like, whoa.
No, he's... What? No, he sings you'll steal another.
It immediately was different, I'm telling you.
That lyric's definitely not changed.
All right. Well, it's bath time at the zoo doesn't happen.
That is the... No, bath time at the zoo still happens.
What are you
saying?
Then
the next one is different.
Okay. That's my cigar. You'll steal another. Hey, bummers, we got work to do.
Work to do. Oh, you're right. You're
right,
yeah.
Since when did you become me mother?
Did you become me mother?
Stop your bawling. I was like, they didn't even say if you can find her. That's crazy. That's such a classic.
Yeah.
Of course I remembered Patrick. And I was like, this is just so funny.
I like that lady.
I know. She's singing her heart out. I was just like, this is so
weird. I remember
it was
so special.
It's just like this woman who we'll never see again. And what's ever going to happen to Patrick?
The Paper Mill cast did a little video where they
had
one of the swings
yeah.
sing that, and I really did love it so much. But, you know, like, I think, honestly, as a kid, I was like, yeah, that lady's so random. But and watching it now, and in the context of your review that was talking about, like, childhood, it is, like, it has mm-hmm. this level of just, like, the separate, like, the ways that people can kind of just be lost from each other in that period. And the, like, there's a variety of circumstances through which children are, like, fending for themselves in mm-hmm. that world. And this woman trying to find her son, failing to find her son, just asking God to save him. Aww.
Yeah.
And it's the other big change, like, musically that I think is interesting. Like, I do think, so maybe we should just talk about what happens in this movie.
Okay.
You open with some voiceover. So Carrying
the Banner is the song that we've been discussing. it's all the
Newsies.
And
it opens with...
Go ahead.
But first we get a little bit of prologue. Like, there's, like, some, like, the Newsboys of New York were the people who carried the headlines to the people or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, little shots of children sleeping on a statue. And there's, like, some archival photos, but they're not real archival mm-hmm. photos. They're, like, photos of the actors in black and white. And then color comes in. And then you get these shots of all these children sleeping. And they're so dirty. And I loved that. I was like, look how dirty these kids are. There's dirt on their fingers, dirt on their feet. So tone setting, so world establishing. I think they kind of get cleaner as the movie goes on. But they just really, like, go hard on how dirty they are at the
beginning. They do get cleaner,
Which I appreciated. Because sometimes you're watching a period film. Or, like, you know, like, you're watching, like, a movie about, like, American slavery. And there's just, like, everyone's just got, like, the whitest teeth and the cleanest skin. And you're like, something about this feels, like, manufactured. Like not authentic. And obviously, these people are singing and dancing. So this doesn't feel that authentic. But starting with those, like, really, like, focusing mm-hmm. on those, like, real details of their circumstances before they start singing and dancing, I think, is a smart touch. And the newspapers are being printed at the same time as the boys are being woken up by the man who runs this, like, boarding
house.
There's
some redhead boy.
And then they're getting ready for the day.
Yelling with the newspaper.
Come on, come on, come on, come on! Work, work, work!
And
yes,
then,
there's children everywhere. Yeah,
because of child labor.
Yeah. That's what this movie's about.
Yeah.
And then they start getting ready for their day, and they sing, you know, Racetrack, my favorite boy in this mm-hmm. movie. He says, that's my cigar.
You'll steal another.
Hey,
bummers, we got work to do. And then they're all shaving, and I'm like, you little boys.
They're getting dressed. One of them's taking a shower. I think that Kenny Ortega really, like, shines in this, like, more location shot, like not like big soundstage kinds of musicals mm-hmm. where, like, you know, like, compared to Singin' in the Rain, where the dance numbers are typically all happening in one space, and there's, like, a comedic choreography, and there's, like, a kind of storytelling that's, like, almost, you know, like, dream ballet kind of storytelling. This is, like, advancing the plot of, like, the musical numbers are just part of the fabric of the movie, and it works really well. Like, there's just, like, a dance sensibility to, like, physical actions, like, you know, one of the boys is taking a bath, and another mm-hmm. boy is pumping the water on top of him, and it feels like dance choreography. The boys in the place where the little redheaded boy is like, come on, come on, come on. There's, like, mm-hmm. a dance element to the newspaper sliding down, and then we see the boys, like, leaving the space where they started the number and moving down the streets, and there's just, like, movement towards something the whole time. Yeah. And so something that's different about this number in the stage show is that in the stage show, it very much is like, here we are standing, doing a dance, introducing ourselves to you. And then the song ends and they see the headline and they're like, that's a shitty headline. In this, halfway through the song, they see the headline and then they're like singing about how the headline sucks. Like, we need a good assassination. We need an earthquake or a war is like dreaming about what the headline could be in the stage show. But in the movie, it's like they just got the headline and they're like, fuck. Come on, give us a good assassination. This sucks. And I like that. I think that it's successful. My opinion is that both the movie and the musical are very, like, successful. Like, having complained about adaptations on this podcast recently, I just want to pay some lip service to the fact that this, I think, is just, like, two excellent things that are right for their medium that make changes that seem motivated by, like, a desire to tell a different story or center a different element and not, like, to make people feel nostalgic for something. And the willingness part of that is because people, yeah.
This movie came before the musical, so I feel like...
Yes, I'm real more thinking that the stage show as an adaptation of this movie was just, like, willing to let go of so much and add new stuff, mm-hmm. but also, like, still, it's very much the same, it's about the same thing at its core, but it tells it in such a different way that feels, like, really appropriate for the medium, and this feels really appropriate for, like, movie musicals of this moment.
Agreed.
Of, like, the 90s and 2000s.
So, yeah, we meet our newsies. We meet Jack Kelly, played by Christian Bale. And
dancing his heart out. I really was appreciating how good he is at dancing in this.
He really, it's like, I notice him because he's Christian Bale. And so I, like, see his face and I'm like, yeah, that's the only man that I know. But it's not like, oh, he sticks out like a sore thumb. He can't dance. He's doing his job.
And he's so sweet and smiling. He is so sweet. Like, the first scene with the old man at the boarding house, I'm just like, oh, like, yeah, I really just, like, he makes you love him so easily. He just plays this, like, confident kid, but who ultimately kind of is looking for love. It's just like, you're like, oh, I just feel the core of this character.
It's such a good performance that just makes you smile, but then also, like, want to cry. Because he's just a kid. taking on the big man. But yeah, so he's like the leader of, I don't know where they are. I should, because
they're in New York.
No, I mean, like, specifically, because then they're saying, oh, we'll get the Midtown Newsies and the whatever. Where are they? In Manhattan.
They say they're gonna get the Midtown Newsies?
They do. That's like, I would have thought
you
were the
Midtown Newsies. Because I would assume that they're, like, by the New York Times.
Exactly.
Or I guess I don't know where the World is published. Maybe the World's publishing houses are lower down in Manhattan.
You know, I think
the New York Times wasn't always in Times Square, but I would be shocked.
I think they probably are in lower Manhattan. But anyway, he is, like, the leader of this group, this area's newsboys, and, then we meet Davey.
Yeah, there is an element of this where, like, he says at one point, like, oh, like, I've never had anyone caring if I stayed or goed, and I was like, Jack, you are so important to all of these boys, like, just from the very beginning, they're all like, Jack, please, we love you and we like you, and you look out for the little kids and stuff. There's a little boy who's, like, jumping into his suspenders and running around, and he's so cute. And
then
the Delancey brothers push him to the ground, and Jack is like, I will kill you if you touch my friend.
It's kind of like Les. So we then meet Davey and Les, and Les is Davey's younger brother. And in the stage show, it's kind of like Les is, like, the only little boy, just because, of course, there's all this dancing that we have these professional older guys doing, but, like,
good to not have too many kids working.
I have no complaint about that, certainly, but Les has, like, other little boy friends that are newsies, which I think is just, like, because it's kids that were doing this, not professional dancers. So we see Jack, he buys 100 papes. He's very, like, charming.
They're also really just so, in a way that, like, I think you get less in the stage show, they're just, like, punching each other and messing around, like, all the time. Like, every shot, like, that's also a thing that I really respect Kenny Ortega for, is, like, in every shot when there are people in the background, they are, like, physically enacting their character. So if there's boys in frame, you better bet they're, like, sword fighting or
there's so many
each other.
Boys having swords, like, little wooden swords in this movie. I was like, that's so funny. Why do you all have swords?
And then Spot Conlon has such a fan. At one point, he, like, unsheats his little one stick. I'm like, this boy is, like, a very specific type of person who I don't know actually existed at the turn of the century, but I do like
it. He gives real Peter Pan vibes when he swings down from the terrace. But anyway, so Davy... I feel like they don't even call him Davy, really. He's David in this movie. But he buys 20 papes. Then he counts, and he's like, this is only 19. And Wiesel, the guy who sells them the papes, is like, what are you saying, I'm a liar? And then Jack counts them, and he's like, yeah, why, Weasel, it's only 19. Just give him what he paid for.
He says, give me...
He gives another, he gives more money and is like, give him 50 more on me. And then Davey's like, I don't want your charity, take these back. And he's like, well, how about we set up a partnership, because I don't have a little brother and this kid is cute and will help us sell papes. So he's like 70-30. And he's like, no, 50-50. And everyone's like, Jack's the best. You'd be lucky to work with him. And he's like, all right, 60-40. And then he spits. And then Davey's like, that's disgusting, to do a handshake. And they laugh at him. Because that's what you do. You spit when you give a handshake.
Posh.
He's so hoity-toity.
So then they go to a boxing match where they're trying to sell newspapers, and Jack is saying, fire in Ellis Island, thousands flee, lives at stake. And Davey's like, where is that story? And it says that there was a trash can fired next to the immigration office and some seagulls fled. And Davey's like, you're lying. He feels like, you know, Jack is a bad influence on his little brother, but Les is loving it. Les is told to do this shtick where he says, he coughs and he goes, buy me last papes.
Yeah. Like Les comes British over boy. And Davey's like, why do you smell like beer? And he's like, because that guy over there said that he would buy a pape if I drank some.
Or he's no, like, he paid him extra. He gave him a quarter. Yeah. He's like, I got a whole quarter.
He didn't believe I would drink some. So Davey's like, oh my god, drinking beer. You're meanwhile, seven. I don't know how old he is.
Meanwhile, in the audience, the Snyder, the guy who runs the refuge, is also watching the boxing match, and he spats Jack in the crowd, and he's like, I gotta get that boy. There's history between them, so... Jack, you know, Davey says, what if there were cops here? Like, you could be arrested. That's a crime that you just drank that beer. And then Snyder starts chasing him, and Jack sees him, and he's like, we gotta go. So they start running, and Les says, all this for one sip of beer? And they're running through the streets. They run up over into this, like, boarding house. They're jumping over people. They jump over a ledge, and they hide. And then Snyder can't find him, but he says, I'll get you back to the refuge, Sullivan! And Davey's like, what? And they're still running. And then Davey says, I'm not running any further. And Les is like, well, I'll keep going. And they go inside Meta Larkin's place. And they meet the Swedish Nightingale.
Played by Anne Margaret. And... Les does his little shtick on her, and she's like, you're good. She and Jack are friends. What does she say that, or he says she was a friend of his dad?
She's a friend of his dad's, yeah.
Which
I don't, we never find out if that's true or not.
Yeah.
But maybe it was. Jack is a well-connected child.
And so they watch her performance. She's like, yeah, you can stay here as long as you need to stay clear of Snyder.
And this is a kind of entertainment venue I don't know anything about. Maybe historically this is real. Is this like a vaudeville house? She's doing like a sort of sexy but fully clothed dance. So it's not
it
like burlesque.
Feels like...
And then there's like a clown with a bunch of candy. And then there's like some people with puppets in the background. It's
it
like,
feels
what's
like
gonna
vaudeville
follow this
to me.
Act? Yeah, I guess it must be.
I feel like
she's dressed like a burlesque dancer, so I would have assumed it was all that this was like, and she owns it. So I was like, oh, this is a woman. Like, in my mind, it's been like she owns some sort of like women's burlesque club. But then looking more closely at it this time, I was like, no, no, no. There's like puppets and, and clowns here. That can't be.
Yeah. But she sings My Lovey-Dovey Baby. And the boys are watching. They're like, this is great. And then they leave, right? Davy's like, oh, we got to get back. Our parents will be worried about us.
They head out, but on their way back, they run into... They're heading out after the show, and there's some violence in the street from the trolley worker strike. And Jack is getting excited about it. You know, he's like a teenage boy. He loves to see people fighting. But Davy is, like, worried, and, you know, Les is there. Les falls asleep somehow in the chaos. So they're like, let's go home. You come back to our place. You can meet our dad, too, and, you know, not be in these dangerous streets. So they go to their house and introduce Jack. And
so they have him over for dinner.
The dad is very nice.
Parents, and he meets their sister, Sarah.
And the dad says Davey's going back to school as soon as he gets his job back at the factory.
So their dad has, like, a broken arm, and then Davy tells Jack, so he got injured on the job, and then they just fired him because he doesn't have a union, so there's nothing he can do about it. This is the first, it seems, that Jack is learning about unions.
Yes. And also, it's the dad says, why don't you go get that cake that you've been hiding for my birthday? Because he loves Jack. He meets Jack and he's like, this boy is so cool. I'm so glad my loser son has such a cool friend. I got to keep him in his life. So they say, like, happy birthday to him. But he's like, oh, you know, like, our sons have a partner. Like, my son's got a business partner. This is more important than my birthday. I have birthdays every year. And Jack, you know, gives a cute little smile to be celebrated. This is a kind of being celebrated by an adult that he has not experienced in a long time. And then Les, asleep on the little bed, sings, coming over, lovey baby.
Yeah, he sings My Lovey-Dovey Baby. And and the mom is like, well, I don't know where he heard that. Like, she's not really mad. She doesn't want to know what the boys have been up to.
I also really do understand that there is a whole world of people who really ship Davy and Jack in the movie, because there's just a couple shots. Like, this is one of those moments where there's a shot of them, like, laughing and kind of touching each other's arms.
Yeah, when I do Les think they have, like, a lot of, like... I don't know if I would say sexual tension, but it's like, of course teenage girls in the 90s wanted them to get together.
Yeah, and they just have a lot of...
They have a lot of camaraderie they have a lot of love for each other. Physical intimacy and love, yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot of love for each other in a movie where people express their love by punching each other and grabbing each other's heads.
And then he leaves...
So then Jack is invited to stay the night, but he declines. He says he has a place of his own, and he heads back to the boarding house where he stays with the other newsies who don't have homes. But on his way, he says, so that's what they call a family. Mm-hmm. Mother, daughter, father, son.
And I really think that this is... Listen. I love Santa Fe, and I mean, of course, like, the performance is so good in the musical, and it's a great, like, emotional climax, act one finale.
But it's not written to be that.
But yeah, it makes much more sense in this way.
It is a funny thing because it is Jack's I Want song, yeah. And it's placed early, like, it's pre-strike in mm-hmm. the movie. It still functions that way because they have the sort of
prologue.
Like, we know that that's what Jack wants, but the and you know, returning to this idea of, like, having this song that's, like, what he wants, and then his low point being him singing, like, this more angry version of the want song, like, how stupid I was to try to deviate from my dream of just, like, getting out of here and going someplace else because the world is so complicated. Like, it does work. I don't have an issue with the stage show, but I do think, like, the original version of this song is, like, is sweet in a, like, oh, what's the Aladdin song to?
Proud of Your Boy.
Proud of Your Boy. It has, like, Proud of Your Boy energy, where it's just, like, it's, like, a quiet, meditative moment with just this little street rat and, and his dreams and the things that he, the love that he wants.
And I love the staging. I love that, and I would never, like, change anything about the Newsies musical, except I kind of think that Something to Believe In is, a, like, not a very good or interesting
song.
Till
the moment I found
I just love the way that it happens in this movie. It's not, like, super, I mean, it's emotional, but it's not, like, super intense. It just kind of, like, cuts out, and he goes into this cute little dance break, like he's a, in a Western. Also, I have to talk about the cowboy hat, because I love it so much. Why doesn't Jack have a cowboy hat in the musical? It's so, there's a scene earlier with Davey where he's like, where are your parents? And he's like, oh, they're looking for a place for us to live out west or something. And he shows him, he has like a little graphic novel or something that has a cowboy on the cover, which I'm just like, of course, that's like how he knows about it. We should have a graphic novel in the musical too, whatever. And he's like, this is, you know, this place, this is Santa Fe. And he just like wants to be a cowboy. Some of the boys call him cowboy sometimes. It's just cute. And he does a little cowboy dance. He, like, steals a horse from a traveling performance
group. I don't know what that
group
of people
are.
Yeah, they look like Irish travelers, but that can't be right.
And he's riding it around and dancing. It's cute. And then he goes to his boarding house.
Yes. It is, I mean, again, I just, I think it's such a beautiful adaptation that it totally works and is beautiful in both ways, and not in a way that makes you wish the stage show was different or that makes you wish the movie was different. It's just, three different executions of the same song, and they all work for the purposes that they're meant to accomplish. But I love watching Christian Bale do a solo cowboy dance.
I love it too.
He's good at it.
It's just so lovely. I love his performance in this. Okay.
Then, and there's this one shot where he's singing in, like, silhouette wearing the cowboy hat. It's, like, a close shot, and the he's just, like, fully backlit. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is interesting.
Then the next thing is Pulitzer, right?
Yes, Pulitzer says.
Which I was like,
we already got a scene of Pulitzer that we didn't talk about where Pulitzer was like, when I invented the world, and he has this, they're not, none of them are wearing hats. Just interesting. Just thinking about hats.
Well, they're always inside.
But he has this, like, mousy assistant.
I don't think
and
people
he has
wear
this,
hats
like, practical
when they're inside.
Assistant.
No?
I think that in this time period, everyone wore hats all the time.
I feel like people take their hats off when they go inside. I guess, I don't know. I wasn't there in the 19.
I wasn't there either. Maybe I'm wrong.
Or whatever. This
Maybe they're just
1890s.
All inside. That's why we don't see hats.
That's what I just said. You know, we only ever see Pulitzer in his office and in his house. But yeah.
Yes.
I don't know.
Pulitzer
wasn't
says,
on my mind.
Pulitzer's spending all his money to compete with William Randolph Hearst. And his assistant, he's got these two assistants, and he's like, we've got to find a way to make more money, and I want to beat Hearst. He's really obsessed with beating Hearst. And his one assistant is like a timid, kind of squirrely man who doesn't care about people, and the other guy is this like beleaguered man who's like, please be reasonable. And so then we see these guys. He says, I want proposals for how to make more money tonight. So then after Santa Fe, we see it's tonight. And they're having this meeting, and the mousy man is like, my first proposal is that we increase the price of the paper for the newsboys. And the practical guy is like,
then
that would be awfully rough on those kids.
Oh, yeah. Someone says
and also they'd
all
go
to Hearst. if you did that.
But then the man is like, my next proposal is that we cut the salaries for people at the top. And Pulsar's like, wait, take me back to that thing where we charge the children more money. I'm sure I could get Hearst to do it with me. And then if we do it, everyone will follow suit. And then you get the iconic line, it's going to be awfully rough on those children. But it's said by the practical man.
It's funny because when I was a kid, first loving the musical, the bottom line was always like a flop to me as well. I was like, this is just like the boring villain song. I'm going to skip it. But then once I got to high school and like Melanie and Sammy and I would always sing, when you're stuck in the muck, you'll be fine. I'm like, this song is a good song. I was like missing it.
Yeah.
I wanted him to be like Nunzio knows when he's cutting my hair. Trim a bit here and then trim a bit there. But there's no song.
Where you feel like you need a song, but it is a good song. Like, it's an addition of a song that makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that there is a villain song. But there also is something to be said for, like, there's no music. Like, there's no childhood or play or dance
there's
or musicality.
There's significantly
in these adult
less
spaces.
Music in this movie, and it's only the kids. Really, all the songs that are kept are just like the doozies group
dance
songs.
Is something that is like wonderful and childlike in mm-hmm. this, you know, like when Denton dances, it's because he's getting swept up in the energy of these young people. So it's like, it's nice that Pulitzer mm-hmm. never dances in this movie.
Well, Pulitzer never not dances really space to dance. In the musical either.
But he stands up. They're moving to music.
Yes,
like sings, there's no, but yeah. But anyway,
but he doesn't.
He
sing,
says the price for the Newsboys goes
up
in the morning.
Just
but
a
he doesn't
few seconds.
And then you cut to the boys, and they're like, "The price has gone up. It's the morning." And they're like, "What are we gonna do? This sucks. We don't want to spend all this money." And Jack goes and tries to sweet talk Mr. Wiesel, and he's thinking. Les is like, give him some space, give him some space, he's gotta think. And he's thinking about what they should do, and then he comes to the idea of, like, maybe we do a strike. Well, Davy says, like, a strike or something? And he's like, yes, a strike! Let's do a strike.
But Davy's like, we can't strike, we don't have a union. Did you not hear what I said last night about how you need a union to strike? And he's like, we're a union just by saying so. But it's funny because
then he gets up on
he
the
starts singing "The World Will Know," which starts with like, "When the circulation bells start." Well, what's the first line? Pulitzer and Hearst, they think we're nothing. Are we nothing?
Are we nothing? No.
But then, what's
but Davy
the part
is telling
when,
him what to say?
But there's a part when Davy goes, everyone says "Yeah," and he's like, "No."
Yeah. Because so at first he's going down to Davy for what he should say. So Davy says, like, they need to know that we won't take this. And that's when he's like, Pulitzer and Hearst, they think they got us. Do they got us? No. And then, you know, he says, like, even though we're not a union, we are a union now. We got to start acting like one. Even though we ain't got hats or badges, we're a union just by saying so. And then they pivot to, we're going to be violent towards newsies who cross the picket line. And that's when Davy is not feeding him the lines anymore. Mm-hmm. Davy's like, wait, but this thing is bigger than Davy immediately. Davy had one verse of mm-hmm. this being the size he wanted it to be, and now Jack has taken the reins. And what's it going to take to stop the wagons? Can we do it?
No. That's Davy. But everyone else is like, yeah.
And Jack climbs up onto the place where they write the headlines, and he takes a piece of chalk and he writes strike
really big.
And Denton is like eating a slice of pizza or something across the street. I don't really know what he's doing.
I don't know why. I've only seen Bill Pullman in one movie. It was While You Were Sleeping.
The one where he has a coma?
No, he doesn't have a coma. Peter Gallagher has a coma.
He's the
brother
of
sleeping,
the guy in
which
the coma.
I watched it a couple of months ago, and it's now like one of my favorite rom-coms. But Bill Pullman is just kind of like weird, and you know, I was like, oh, they're gonna cut to Trenton, like this guy, and then I was like, oh my god, that's Bill Pullman.
that's funny. And I know that Bill Pullman is a, like, a 90s rom-com leading man, or like that people have feelings about him as a rom-com man, but he just is Denton in my mind. Like, that's the first thing I ever saw
him
in.
Well, let me tell you, he plays them like he could be the same character. I don't know what it is, but yeah. I don't know. I need to figure out my feelings on Bill Pullman. But, like, I just kind of remembered Denton as some guy. Because that's what Bill Pullman is. But now I, like, recognized him. I don't know. I feel like Denton's kind of a weird character. But
I knew that Bill Pullman was someone because I feel like I would be watching this movie at sleepovers and Dad would be like, that's Bill Pullman. And I was like, yeah, the guy from movies, Bill Pullman. But obviously I understood that he had some other association.
And it was crazy to hear him sing. But anyway.
He's good. But so he's like, what's going on here? And he takes Jack and Davey and Les out to lunch and is like chatting with them about this story and what their plans are.
He works for the New York Sun.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want to write an article about you.
Act of resistance. So
Jack says no pictures.
I'm not missing anything.
But then Denton brings a camera and he poses. So...
Yeah, you know, they all want to be the king of New York.
Yeah, but I just thought it was weird that he said no pictures. But it doesn't matter.
The other thing that happens is that Jack says we got to get the word out, like we got to hold this picket line strong across New York, so people divide up to go to places. They're like, we're taking Queens.
People are saying, we'll go here. He's like, who's gonna go to Brooklyn?
Crutchy has the whole Bronx, which is so interesting.
Yeah.
I guess the Bronx was not as developed at that time, so there was not that much of it.
And then no one wants to take Brooklyn? And they're all like, well, we would, but we're really scared of Spot Conlon. So he's like,
what's
all right.
What's the name of the guy who goes? It's Jack Davey, and I want to say Mush, but I think Mush is...
It's
the guy who says
it's something with an E sound.
Hey, brothers, we got work to do.
Wait, let's see. Do they have all the names of the newsies on this?
They did have all their names in the cast, which I thought was funny. There were some who I was like, I don't know who this is.
like
Pie Eater.
I'm not sure. Is it Boots? They don't have all the names.
I was just about to check if it was Boots.
They only have Harvey a few Lowe Jr. names on Wikipedia.
Yeah, I think it is Boots.
Okay, so he's like, Boots and
yes,
I...
Yes, it's definitely Boots.
Boots, I'll go with you, and Davey will keep us company. So then they go to Brooklyn.
So they go.
Also, I just gotta say, I love, like, I think I'm kind of stupid for, like, having this realization quite late into my Newsies fandom. But, like, the line, the world will know, in the journal, too. I was like, oh, my God, they mean the world, the paper. I thought they just meant the world. What a smart song. No,
did you get the joke on it? He said, when I created the world.
I didn't even think about that.
And then they get distracted by the Newsies hawking the papers, and he's like, where was I? And Sykes, the put-upon guy, is like, when you created the world, sir. Yeah, they love the world puns.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever the double meaning of the world in this.
But yeah, so they go to Brooklyn.
Did you just realize that today?
No. I realized this years ago, but... I was still, like, a teenager. I was like, this shouldn't have taken me that long.
Yeah. That doesn't seem crazy to me, actually.
But I still, every time I think about it, I'm just like, how smart and lovely. So I just needed to point that out. They go to Brooklyn. There's, like, some boy swimming, and we get, like, a little... thirst shot of him coming out of the water.
There's also, I love this shot, they're walking across the bridge and they're just such boys.
Yeah.
It's so
and
cute.
Jack and Boots both yell at the same time and they like jump
and
up.
Then we pull back And you get, they have these lovely, like, painted backdrops in a couple of these shots.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that, too. Sometimes they pan out, and then it's like, the city is like a painting.
It's yeah. Cool. It has, like, Mary Poppins energy. Mm-hmm. Not quite. It's not like on glass in the same way. It's like just painted backdrops, but they're beautiful, and the makes you appreciate the you know, old New York.
Yeah. Then they see Spot, and he's like, "Oh,
Boots
I've been."
Gives him a shooter for his slingshot.
Oh, yes, he does. He
shoots it, and Davey's like, "Whoa, this boy's violent." But he, and then you know, Spot's like, "Who's this? A walking mouth?" And Jack's like, yeah, you better listen to this mouth. And Davey's like, well, you just gotta join us on this strike. You gotta.
And he's like, you know what I hoid? everyone's been telling me that you guys are striking. But I don't remember. They're like,
he needs to see that they're serious. Yeah. He needs to know that they won't run away at the first
Davey
sign of
trouble. Davey says... Yeah, and all those guys have said they'll only join in if you do, because you're the most famous newsie in the world, and we all look up to you, and if you join us, then we'll be unstoppable, so you just gotta. And Jack's like, see, look at this brain.
Yeah, he's a mouth with a brain. That's
yeah.
What
But Spot
will not join unless they prove they're serious.
Yeah, he's like, how do I know that you're not just gonna run off at the first, whatever.
Sign of trouble.
So
the newsies regather, and they report back that that's what Spot said, and Race is like...
Well, maybe we should just not.
Yeah.
And then everyone's I think we should just go back to work unless Spot Conlon joins us. And he's like, he was right. You're all just going to back out at the first sign of trouble. And not even trouble
and
yet.
Says,
we haven't even started. And then Davey says,
now
is the
time
to
seize this
day. Which to me kind of felt like...
Talking to little kids.
And just like, he just started singing out of... nowhere in a way that felt different from every other musical number that they have. I don't know.
Oh, really? I felt like he was getting ready to say, because they're bickering and Jack is getting annoyed and he kind of walks away and the camera's with him. You're like, what a perfect time to enter into his world through music.
Yeah.
It felt, it was, I don't feel what you felt, but yeah. I respect your opinion.
I think it was just one thing that, even though I have to keep remembering that, like, details are different in this movie, and it's not like it doesn't make sense the way it is, but I really do love the way that in the stage show, the beginning is more to, like, these new scabbers that he's, like, convincing
yes, the narrative
them
here...
to, like, join, whereas here it's more like, I gotta get everyone else that just sang The World Will Know back. It feels a bit like we've taken a step back in the story and we have to get back to where we were, which I get. But then they run into the scabbers and I was like, we're doing
well,
this
because
anyway.
Because unlike in the stage show, they don't convert all the
yes,
scabs and
this,
they...
A scabber
a
punches
big part
them.
Of this... Yeah, a big part of the narrative here is that they're like figuring out how they want to manage violence. And so instead of being like a choreographed dance sequence, the confronting of the scabs is verbal confrontation and then physical fighting. Immediately it escalates mm-hmm. to just like throwing tomatoes, going nuts, climbing everywhere. And Davey is trying to like figure out how he feels about that. So I get it, like it doesn't make sense for that to be a song in the same way. And they're less effective at converting, you know, like they do convert some of the scabs really easily. But the scabs are clearly going to continue to be a problem, is what the sequence sort of establishes.
Yeah. I think it's also indicative of the fact that I feel like the stage show is more of just, like, a story about these characters, and the movie is, like, a story about the newsboys and the child labor law. So it's like, of course, they're going to show it wasn't that easy. We weren't all just like, yeah, let's go. Let's convert everyone. Like, there are more steps to it, which I appreciate. But it makes...
Well, I also think you get less scenes in a stage show. So the movie has multiple sequences of like, that I think because it's a movie, you can kind of do the same thing a few times and it doesn't feel boring. They shoot them in different ways. The characters who are present shift. There's more and more cops and people who are harassing the kids, guys with chains or whatever.
Yeah.
But it would feel tedious if we saw the same dance number like three times in a stage show, and it would eat up so much of your runtime that you don't necessarily have.
That's true.
But so the stage show kind of simplifies it to Met resistance converted people, whereas this, we see it in like three chunks of trying to confront and be ready for people.
Yeah. And then in this whole thing, Crutchy gets taken.
Does Crutchy get taken this time?
I think so. I feel like he's in the refuge for most of the movie.
Okay. I was not sure if it was this time or next time.
I'm not sure either. I feel like I kind of missed it.
Yeah.
Well, he was just like,
these sequences happen pretty close together, yeah, where then the next thing that happens is they're going to hold down the lines again.
And they sing Seize the Day again, like a cappella, but there's more of them.
Yeah. And then they go in. So Denton comes with the camera this time. He's here to support them again. He's continuing to cover this. And they close the gate. Like, the newsies go in to confront the scabs, and they close the gates behind them, like, locking them in. Oh, you know what happens? Is that there's a scene where, like, I think...
Yeah, what happens Weasel, in between?
The thing in between is that Weasel asks for resources to stop them. He needs more... So that's why we know that something's going to be different this time, but we're not quite sure what, but he's asked for resources, and then they kind of lock the kids in, and then there's all these men with, like, chains and, like, brass knuckles, and, like, they're going to hurt these kids much more violently than last time.
This is,
like,
also it's gonna when be a bad fight. Spot Conlon does his swinging on a rope thing.
Yeah, so the kids are, like, trapped in, and Denton is outside and he sees
what are these called? You see?
Slingshots.
Yes, slingshots. but, yeah.
But first there's a moment where you're like, oh my god, these kids are gonna die, and Denton's outside and he's like, are you gonna help him? And the cop is like, move along, sir, and Denton's like, no, I'm a reporter. And then they're, like, looking around all panicked, and then Spot Conlon says... have no fear. You know, we got
Brooklyn's
your back from way
here.
Back. And they swing down and they fight and they open the gates, and the Brooklyn newsies, there's so many of them, and they're jumping on and they're fighting off the people. And they're victorious and they take a picture. Oh, you're right. Crutchy must get taken at that one because this is just the victorious photo. So Crutchy gets taken the first time. And they go to rescue him, Davy and Jack. Mm-hmm. I think in between as well.
Yeah. But
and Crutchy,
like,
got too beat up by the Delanceys to leave right now.
Yeah. Which we haven't really discussed, the Delancey brothers. They're just some
They're just
violent
these two
guys.
Dumb guys. Yeah, they just work for Weasel. And Crutchy saves Jack by distracting Snyder while he's leaving the refuge, and then they go, but they're like, well, we're gonna soak them for Crutchy is what they say when they're about to go in. So this is just, I don't think they do sing Seize the Day in the choral. This time they just say, we soak them for Crutchy. They run in there. They get locked in. The Brooklyn boys come and save them.
When do they sing it again?
When Jack's a turncoat.
Really? I thought it was much sooner than that. I don't know, whatever.
Nope.
Are you saying turncoat now because of Fantasy High? Because I wanted to say something about it last week when you said turncoat as well. I was like, I've literally never even heard anyone say turncoat. And now you're using it colloquially.
I've said it before, but it is more in my vocabulary now.
She was a freaking turncoat. but... So then they have their picture on the front page of the New York Sun, and they sing King of New York.
And Spot Conlon's like, where am I? When do they say my name? And Jack's like, calm down about yourself. But they all are obsessed with seeing themselves in the paper. And someone's like, eh, so what? What does it mean that we're in the paper? And someone else is like, you're in the paper. You can get whatever you want.
Granted. He doesn't say that.
I thought it was gratis, like free.
Probably.
Someone says, for example.
Such as?
What?
I said such as.
Oh, such as. A pair of gold shoes with matching laces. A permanent box at Sheep's Head Races, says Race, my favorite character. There's a little dialogue moment I forgot to mention that I loved when he's like, you know that hot tip I had about that race? So I forgot to tell the horse. That kid.
Yeah, also at the very beginning, Race is like, he asks Weasel to spot him for 50 papes because he's got a really good tip. And he's like, I swear, it's better than the last tip I gave you. So yeah, they sing King of New York. Denton is someone like, I'm the king of New York.
Grab the ceiling fan.
Mm-hmm, and they spin.
Yeah, and it's much more about Denton. Yeah. Like, he's the king of New York because mm-hmm. he crowns the kings. So he's the ultimate king. They're just little princelings of New York.
Which is kind of interesting because I'm like, you're a grown man.
But he's
but he's just having fun with the
childish
boys.
World. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's playing the part. He's singing. Mm-hmm. He's dancing a little bit.
And then they're like, so what do we do next? I don't know. Am I missing something?
A rally. Yeah, they play. They finish the song and then they're like, okay, back to planning. Okay. They're going to do a big rally. That's the plan.
And they do it. So they're going to do it at Meadowlarkins.
We go to Pulitzer and the police and Snyder. And Pulitzer's like, I think also we get a little scene where Crutchy sees Jack in the paper and says, oh, there's Jack, Jack looking like his old self. Yeah.
And then Snyder's and like, then you know this boy? And Crutchy's like, no, I don't. I swear. I was just confused.
And then Snyder goes to the boarding house, and the boarding house guy is protecting Jack, and so mm-hmm. are all the newsies, and they're like, he's like, Jack Kelly, I've never heard that name.
They're like, that's,
has anyone
that's
ever
an
heard of a
Jack
name
Kelly? Around here, we've all got names like Mush and Mud.
So then they're hiding Jack, yeah. They put up a sign in front of him that says, like, newsies,
yeah,
love.
Races, like... Donate equality. To our cause.
Yeah. Contribute to the strike fund, sir. That's Race, my favorite character. And then then they're going to do their rally. And also Sarah and Jack. Jack has to leave. Jack runs away.
Yes, so then he sleeps outside of the... Do they have a last name? Yes, they do, right?
The
Jacobs. Oh, I wouldn't have known that.
Okay.
But he sleeps outside their house, like, on a fire escape, outside of Sarah's room. She's like, did you sleep there all night?
I think it's just, like, a one-room situation. And she just wakes up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't think everyone has a bedroom.
Yeah, but she's right there. He's sleeping right outside her bed.
She wakes up and she's like, shh. People are asleep. And she comes out and meets him. She says, meet me on the roof. And they go on the roof and she's doing the laundry.
She made him some breakfast.
Yes. And he says that after this is over, he's going to go to Santa Fe. And she's like, oh. And he's like, I just am not used to it mattering to people if I stay or go. Mm-hmm. And that's when I'm like, all these kids would care so much. But and they do. You know, that's not the movie mm-hmm. doesn't ignore that fact. But he's, you know, just being a little drama queen. And she's
he wants to not just be relied on, you know?
Yes. And they play the love theme in this movie that is the Princess Diaries theme, and it's very disorienting to me every time. But anyway, then it's time for the rally. Jack's gonna do the rally. Everyone's excited. They're doing it. Meadowlarkins introduces them. Or they talk first.
Hard times. I don't remember what happened before she started
singing. He gives a speech and he's like, newsy solidarity. But then also Meadowlarkins like, sometimes there's nothing to eat. And sometimes the living is sweet, but I always land on my feet. And then
and Jack Snyder starts shows up. Dancing.
We
with
see a scene
her.
Where Pulitzer gives Snyder and the police permission to raid the rally because Jack Kelly is a fugitive.
Pulitzer's like,
and Pulitzer gives,
I want you to like arrest all of them, and they're like, we can't. That's illegal. They're not. And then he's like, well, is it legal that their leader is an escaped fugitive? And
he gets them to make a big deal of it in exchange for hosting a dinner with the
arrest him before the rally or something. And he's like, no, you got to do it publicly and also beat up all the other kids in the meantime. Make a real show of it.
And the incentive is he invites the mayor to a game night or whatever with all the newspaper people in New York. Mm-hmm. So he's using the influence of the press to his advantage. And so then Bill Pullman, our man Denton, sees Snyder come in, and he says loudly, oh, you're Snyder, the guy who runs the refuge. I'm so interested in the work you do, running the refuge for children. And Davey hears this, and he's like, oh, shit. So he's going to find Jack. He's like, Jack, Snyder's here. You gotta go. And then there's this big sequence
Denton's trying to distract him, but then it's not working. So he's like, let me take a picture of you, and just, like, flashes the thing in his face so he gets disoriented for a second. But he's spotted Jack, and then
there's cops
in all directions. And
Davey, everyone's doing everything to protect him. Jack pushes Davey on the swing into Snyder, and then he's going to hit him with the seat of the swing, and other newsies come in, and Jack runs around behind. He's climbing up the walls, but then there's people up there. He's sliding down the banister, and the guy with the eye patch, I don't remember his name, gets, like, punched in the face by a police officer to protect Jack. But then a horse tries to stomp Jack into the ground, and
the horse goes inside.
He keeps running, actually. Yeah, the horse is inside, and then someone undercuts him, like, in the jaw, and he's being, like, crowd surfed, and everyone's shouting and trying to get him. And then we cut to a scene in a courtroom where all the mm-hmm. boys are... Denton bails out all the boys, which is very nice of him.
Yeah.
And then Jack is in a separate group, and we learn that his real name is Francis Sullivan, and he ran away from the refuge. He's been saying that he was driven out by Teddy Roosevelt, which is true, but he was, like, on the bottom. He, like, hid underneath mm-hmm. Teddy Roosevelt's carriage.
And also, Snyder reveals that his mother is dead, and his father is also a convict, who I think is also escaped, right? Or I don't know.
Oh, his father escaped.
Well, I don't know. I couldn't be making that up. But they're not out west looking for a place to live. So Davey's like, you lied to me. I'm like, well, why would he want
to
tell you
that?
But
Davey's not, like, upset about that yet.
Yeah.
So they make a... Davey's leading the newsies now. He says, we're going to break Jack out of the refuge
tonight. Yes, and Snyder is like, I think that he should be put in the refuge until he's 21, which I'm like, that's crazy because people are put in adult jail at like 15 now. But, and the judge is like, sounds good. So he's going to be in there for a long time. So Davey's like, let's break him out tonight. but then as they're going to break him out, they're taking him out. And Davey jumps on the back of the carriage to follow them. And they go to Pulitzer's house. And
so Davey pulls the pin out mm-hmm. of the thing that connects the horse to the carriage. And he hides while this scene happens inside, which is that Pulitzer offers Jack money. And he'll let him get out of here, a clean record, whatever, as long as he stops supporting the strike and joins the scabs. And Jack doesn't want to, but he's, like, the money thing really does make him stop and consider it. I think they leave it like, oh, think it over, or take the night to think about it or something. And then as they're leaving, they go to get in the carriage, the guy does, like, pulls the little reins
of
the
first
horse, and it
Davey,
just yanks him off the seat.
Davey is, like, next to this staircase up to the front door, and he yells, Jack, run! So Jack runs with him, and then they're like, oh, chase him! And then the driver gets yanked off his seat, and then Snyder's just like, or no, someone else is like, don't worry, we'll get him or something. I don't know.
They say there's nowhere he can go.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Davey's like, let's go back to my house.
Oh, and the other
house.
Thing that Pulitzer said that Davey had a family and that would be devastating for him to be arrested or get into trouble. Like, you're ruining people's lives. So Jack is like, that was so stupid. Why would you do that? You could have gotten arrested. And he goes back.
Yeah, well, he's like, go home, leave me. And Davey's like, I'm confused. And he's like, well, I'm confused too, but just leave. So then he does, but he's
kind of hurt. And
then
we get the corral of Seize the Day the next morning.
Hmm.
And at the end, they all link, these boys come out with these can drums. They're like, everyone does a little dance, and then they link arms and they get in position as the gates open.
Mm-hmm.
And Spot Conlon's there, the Brooklyn, like the solidarity of the Newsies is still there. It hasn't been broken by this. And this is when we see Jack has accepted
they're
Pulitzer's
like,
deal. He's wearing a nice
what,
suit.
What am I seeing? And then we see Jack in a little suit. And he's lost
Tell
his cowboy hat.
Working.
He's got a newsboy cap now.
Yeah. And Davey is allowed to go talk to him.
And he's like, so this is why you didn't want to run away with me last night, so you could get money and betray us? And this is when, Jack says, I can't afford to be a kid anymore. Which is just so heartbreaking. Because it's such a reality. And then Davey's like, all right, you made your choice, whatever. And then he turns around and he tries to go after him, and then the cops grab him.
Yeah, the cops are protecting Jack. But the Newsies are still, they're not going back. Mm-hmm.
Davey yells, he's like, we don't need you. I was the one telling you what to say anyway. And Jack's like, yeah, but you never had the nerves to say it yourself. And he's like, well, guess what? I don't need you. Bye.
But then we go to the little, diner.
Yeah.
And sad news, none of the newspapers covered the rally because there's an embargo on covering the strike. And Denton is being transferred to Cuba or whatever. He's got
to
go report on the war.
He was a war correspondent before as well.
And now he's back. He's going back to war. And he's like, sometimes they don't fire you. But I'm sad about this. And Davey's just so pissed at him for accepting this relocation, for just rolling over. He gives him the article. He's like, please read the article I wrote about you. And Davey crumples it up and won't even talk to him. He's so pissed.
And then
Les unfolds it
and
wraps
his
hot dog
in it. Yes.
Because they're like, well, we got to go and plan to be on strike without you because you fucking suck. And they're all pissed.
And he says, someone's like, what now? And he's like, we keep going and we trust no one except other Newsies.
Yeah. And then that night, Jack is sent to sleep in his new bedroom, which is just an old
basement
printing press
of the world building.
And then
there's an old printing press in there.
And then when does Sarah find the hot dog and read the thing? Do they get attacked first? There's two scenes that happen, and I can't remember the sequencing.
One is
that Sarah and Les are walking around. Jack is being his turncoat self, and he's conflicted about it.
I feel like the letter happens first, that Sarah finds it.
I think so, too. So I think we just see Jack having a hard time in this new life of being,
The Delancey brothers are taunting him.
Say they're going to go beat up Davey.
And he's like, Wiesel is like, if you make one slip up, if you lay a finger on them, you're going right back to the refuge.
And then we see them doing that.
So they see Sarah and Les, and they're like, hey, where's your brother? And she's like, go away. And then they grab her, and then they push Les, and then JB comes, and then they're beating him up, and Jack is just working and hears Sarah screaming, David, whatever. So he runs, and then he, like, beats up the Delancey brothers. And then he's like, it's one thing I never was. A scab? No, smart or something. It's cute.
And then they go back to Denton. And it's at some point, Sarah finds the article and is reading it, and Davey is, like, so pissed listening to it, he slams the window shut and goes out on the fire escape.
And the article is about, like, child labor more generally. So then they use that to get other child labor or other children
they go to Denton,
involved in the strike.
They say, we need to have a rally of all the children of New York to support our cause. You know, like, and we need someone who could write something great about it. But unfortunately, Denton's going off to be an ace war reporter. And then they laugh because they're like, they know he's not doing that. He's going to stay and help them. So they're like, he's like, well, we need a printing press. And they're like, well, I happen to know about one where I was sleeping just until tonight. So they go and they're printing their thing. And this is the weirdest musical number because they're not actually singing.
It is the weirdest one, yeah.
But it kind of works for the solemnity of the moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they kind of they emulate that in the stage show, even though, of course, they are singing. But it's just like they're working and working and just happen to also be singing while they do it, I feel.
Yes. Yeah.
So they sing Once and For All.
This is the story you wanted to write while you kept out of sight, but no more. And then then we see the Newsies distributing the Newsie banner.
They're all going up to kids and saying, hey, kid, can you read? Well, read this. Except Boots is just on a roof throwing the papers everywhere.
And then they sing Seize the Day again? No, they sing...
No.
They sing something again. They sing a reprise of The World Will Know. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just us, you know, that's okay. We've said what we had to say. And then a bunch of children on bicycles and in a big parade come out
with
and
big
they
flood
signs. The square. They say, girls want rights. And also, stable boys on strike. And then Mr. Pulitzer asks to speak to the strike leaders, Davey and Jack. They go in. Davey says, you're wasting your money. You know, like, he's like,
yeah, because he says,
a bad decision by not
anyone who
us.
Doesn't look out for their best interests is a fool to Jack. Like, why would you do this when I offered you money and freedom? And then Davey's like, so then what are you? Because you're losing money every day when all we're asking for is a tenth of a cent. And Jack's like, it's not about the money. It's about the power. He can't be giving in to us.
And then Sykes says, these kids put out a pretty good paper. You're like, what's your angle?
Yeah. And then Jack's like, listen to all these kids out here. And he opens the window and Pulitzer's like freaking out. He's like,
I love that.
His ears. And he's like, shut the window, shut the window. I'm like, oh my God, calm down.
No, it's the power. He doesn't have that power. These children have the power. He's terrified.
And
so
then
they go out, they make a deal, they go out to Jack whispers something in Les's ear and then puts Les on his shoulders, and then Jack shouts, we won! And everyone goes, woo! Even the stable boys and the girls. The girls didn't get rights, but they're just so happy for the Newsies, because they know the Newsies will be there to help them when they fight for their rights.
And then Snyder comes, and Jack's freaking out, and Denton's like, it's over. And he starts running away, and he's like, no, no, it's over. You don't have to run. And then all the boys that were in the refuge come out. Oh, because we didn't say, during Once and For All, I think, we see Teddy Roosevelt reading the paper, and he's like, thank you,
Denton. Yeah, Denton, like, brought it up to Albany.
He's like, thank you, Denty, for pointing this out, or whatever. I had no idea because
part of the Newsy banner is an article about how the refuge
about the refuge
is, what Teddy Roosevelt
and
didn't
how they
see
hid
on his visit.
The scandal from him when he came. So now we see all the boys come out, and then they put Snyder in.
And Crutchy says, "Officer, may I?" And
he
says, "Remember what I told you. Make friends with the rats. Talk about what you have in common."
And then they're like, "You get to go on a ride wherever you want. And this time you can be inside the car." And he's like, will they drive me to the train yard?" And Denton's like, "If that's what you want." And then he gets in the car and he's waving goodbye to everyone.
Crying.
And Les is crying, and Sarah and Davey, they're all like hugging each other and like very sad, but Les is openly crying. It's so sad. And then he just kind of like goes on a lap and then he comes back.
But no, first someone says, "That's try Bottle Alley or the Harbor."
Yeah. They're getting online. Go back to work. So then Davey buys his 100 papes. He's now the leader because Jack left and everyone celebrates.
And he pays his... Mm-hmm. He makes a big deal of paying the old rate. He puts down a quarter. That's 50 papes and he gets them.
But then after he's bought his papes, we see everyone's yelling and Jack has come back. And then he says something about how... He has a family.
It's like you said, Teddy, I've got stuff to take care of here.
Yeah, my work's not finished. Thanks for the advice.
And Teddy Roosevelt's like, "All right, back to Albany." Is that the capital city of New York at this time period?
I don't know. But then he says something about how besides, my family's here. And then... there's this tension between him and Davey, and then Davey comes up and he spits in his hand and they shake. And then Sarah comes up and they just start making out and everyone's like, "Whoa!"
Everyone's like, "Woo!"
And that's Newsies.
And then they all, carrying their newspapers, go out to... sell, and they do little dances.
Yeah, Davey, Jack, Sarah, and Les are all like hugging and walking out, and then everyone else comes out like in lines doing a little dance. It's like a curtain call. It's cute.
It is cute. Oh, it's such a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just good dancing. Good music.
I feel like the dancing...
I think Jack Feldman wrote two sets of good lyrics for this movie.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Story.
I think the dancing is, like... I said this also in my Letterboxd review. Like, it's much less polished. It's not as, like, complicated or, like, visually, like... honestly, like, satisfying. But it's very, like, kids playing in a way that is great. And they're still doing flips and carrying the banner, you know?
Yeah.
It's just great.
Yeah. Yes, it's a very different approach to the choreography than in the stage. I really do have a lot of respect for Alan Menken and Jack Feldman as two people who, like, made this thing that I think is really good. Like, this movie I think is good, and they should be proud of their work on their movie, and I think it's silly that they were nominated for a Razzie for... High Times, Hard Times. That song is not bad. I don't know what the issue is.
What? That's ridiculous.
But like, they were also, like, so game, I feel like, to just to create
something different.
Inspired by this, but that is so different. Mm-hmm. Like, the way that the dance sequences and musical numbers work in the stage show is so fun, where they, like, there is still this element of play, but it's, like, you know, in the tap number of King of New York, then they're like playing with spoons, and there is an element of like discovery and play and like one-upping each other,
and the whole thing
where
they
just
dive
deeper and deeper into something
when someone is the first to put the paper down and then step on it and rip it, and you hear on the recording, "What's he doing?"
Yeah, exactly.
And they all join in.
Yeah, yeah, it still captures that energy of play, but in just for a different medium and in a way that really works. Like, instead of exploring the world, like, I think in this movie they will travel from space to space, or they'll, like, climb up on top of something in the stage show. It's like, we're standing in one place, but how could we still play with ripping up the newspaper and or dancing on top of the newspaper? Like, what is he doing? And both work, and they wrote music that, like, plays well with that in both ways. Like, in the dance break of Santa Fe, there's this, like, driving forward sort of sense as he's moving from space to space where he's doing some dancing. In King of New York or Seize the Day, those dance breaks, the music kind of, like, comes down for moments of coming up with an idea and mm-hmm. then builds back up and then comes down when someone comes up with an idea. They made two beautiful things.
Yeah.
Classic.
I love Maisies.
Yeah, me too. And I have so many childhood memories of watching this movie at sleepovers. Jumping from couch to couch in our old living room.
Mm.
Well, thanks for listening. I don't feel like we have anything else to say.
No, I don't think so either. What were we going to Google on it, Mike? The thing about,
it's called Newsboys in the UK.
Yeah.
Did you figure that out?
You texted it to me.
But you didn't find that out yourself,
I did not figure that out. I didn't look into it. Why?
That's just what it was released. That's what it's always been. You know how, like, Zootopia in some places is Zoopolis? That's, like, the European title for the movie.
That's so interesting.
From 1992 until today, it would always be the Newsboys.
Because even, like, in the title card, it said Newsies.
Yeah. Because it is Newsies.
Yeah.
I was curious if you had a slightly different European title in
Europe, it would say Zoopolis, or it would still say Zootopia.
So that I don't know, because, like, obviously it would be a slightly different cut of the movie, because there would maybe be German voice actors if you were watching Zoopolis in Germany. Whereas for, the US-UK thing, I don't know if, like, when a movie is released under a different title. Like, does Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone say Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone on screen in the title card? Mm. In the UK? I don't know.
It's just weird to give it a different name but keep the title in the film the same. I don't know.
Well, I think Newsies was not a... My guess would be that the thought process was people won't know what Newsies are in the UK. That's not a phrase that people... Like, they called their Newsboys Newsboys. So this movie is called The Newsboys. But they're going to say...
But they're going to say we're the Newsies every 10 seconds.
Soak 'em! Yeah, and use all the Newsies, the New York accents and stuff. But just for marketing purposes, like, the Newsboys was a more legible title.
Hmm.
And then I would guess that the stage show, by the point that that came out, like, Newsies was a brand into it. So, like, it's not like British people were saying, oh, I love the Newsboys, because the Newsies would say, we're Newsies. So then there was no need to have an alternative title.
Did the stage show ever come here?
I just meant... Actually, maybe I'm not even saying something accurate. Can you watch Newsies Forever or whatever, the stage show pro shot on Disney Plus? Or is that somewhere
can
else?
Can you?
I don't know. I don't know if I can either. Because you purchased it on Amazon. That's how I watch it.
Newsies...
I'll check the
Forever.
American.
No, it's not on Disney Plus. Well, I also spelled Forever wrong, but I don't think that will make a difference. Yeah.
Whoa, wait a second.
Whoa.
I'm not in the UK, but I'm being told I can watch the Newsboys or Newsies too.
Well, that's just crazy.
That is weird. But that is the UK title. That's why you were seeing that. I'm seeing something weirder.
But anyway, the stage show is not on Disney Plus.
It is for me. In the US, it is.
Really? Well, guess I'll... it's okay, because I purchased it. I didn't realize that I... I know that I watched it on Prime, but I didn't know that I had purchased it. I thought I just
I think you could
it.
Only purchase it, so it's mm-hmm. still in our
I should rewatch it.
Amazon.
Then.
Yeah, it's great. It's equally good to this.
Yeah. I think about it all the time. And my bank. I love that.
Yeah, there were little moments of disappointment like, oh, there won't be these songs.
Yeah.
But not really, you know?
Because, like, other than the bottom line, and I think that Lovey Dovey Baby is a fine song, although I love That's Rich, but, and Don't Come a Knockin' on My Door, like, is the instrumental is there in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think. Like, when they're in the theater, I feel like I heard it. But, since it's, like, the plot, like, the scenes are quite different, that there's not many moments where I'm like, ugh, I'm sad that they're not going to break out into this song, because it just, the story flows differently.
I was thinking about how I like Watch What Happens Reprise.
Yes. As,
because just appreciating how much, like, just in the, like, close-up film performance you get of, like, you just feel every, like, you don't need to sing that song in this movie because it's just all there in the faces, but mm-hmm. that is the song that gives you a little glimmer into, like, Jack is just a kid, you know? He's,
yeah.
He's conflicted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
That
and I was thinking
so
about
good.
Letter from the Refuge. When
I was thinking
walking,
about Letter
so
from
good.
The Refuge,
like,
too.
How are you?
I
okay.
While I was watching this, I went to search on Spotify in vain. I was like, maybe Letter from the Refuge is on Spotify now? But it's not.
Gotta get YouTube Premium.
Then you can tell. I wasn't it. Much help yesterday.
Snyder beat me real bad with my crutch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Jack. This is crutchy, by the way.
All right. I think we should stop.
I love that song.
I love
all
the songs.
I love that show. I love this whole thing.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
So that's what they call a family. Mother, daughter, father, son. Guess that everything you heard about is true. So you ain't got any family. Well, who said you needed one? Ain't you glad nobody's waiting up for you?